Britain.
A Striker's Tale. The Parable of Gary Lineker. Footballer, broadcaster, podcast mogul. What one career says about modern Britain.
The afterlives of English footballers typically involve a stint in coaching or a spot of punditry. The glaring exceptions are David Beckham, a businessman and walking brand, and Gary Lineker. He's probably got the edge on looks, Mr. Lineker concedes, in the self-deprecatory tone that helped make him an A-list broadcaster and, in his latest incarnation, a podcast star. His career, a startling run of successes punctuated by controversy, encapsulates deep trends and fault lines in England's personality. Listening to Mr. Lineker, now 63, you might conclude that he was never much of a footballer. On his podcast, The Rest is Football, another retired striker, Alan Shearer, ribbed him recently for scoring goals from a few yards out. "I couldn't kick it any further," Mr. Lineker deadpanned. The show, he says, aims to mix insight with fun. A team of him, flinty Mr. Shearer, and exuberant Micah Richards, also an ex-player, has helped make it one of the most downloaded sports podcasts in Britain. It is made by Goalhanger, a firm Mr. Lineker founded with two former BBC producers. Its basic shtick is amicable dialogue in a shouty world, chats between well-matched presenters, which, as he puts it, let you feel as if you're with them in the room. The output includes The Rest is Politics, which pairs Alistair Campbell, once a Labour spin doctor, with Rory Stewart, previously a Conservative MP. An American version features Anthony Scaramucci, briefly an aide to Donald Trump. Goalhanger wants to crack America thoroughly, but it is doing pretty well already. The Rest is Politics is Britain's top political podcast. Another title, The Rest is History, is downloaded 11 million times a month and is a hit in America and Australia. In a very 21st century feedback loop, whereby digital interaction drives a yearning for the physical kind, the history and politics hosts play live events to improbably huge audiences. "I'm much more heavily involved than people would think," Mr. Lineker says. "He takes a big interest in what we do," Mr. Campbell confirms. Podcasts are his third career. Banter aside, in the 1980s and early 1990s, he was an elite footballer. A striker's lot can be gruelling. 99% of the time, he recalls, you're getting battered, you're missing, you hit the post, but nothing, not even in podcasts, rivals the joy of scoring a big goal. He netted plenty, including six at the World Cup of 1986. That tournament changed my life, earning him a move to Barcelona and acclaim at home. In An Evening with Gary Lineker, a play of 1991 and later a film, an unhappy wife announces she is running off with him. "Gary Lineker, eh?" says her husband. "Well done." Like Mr. Beckham, who had a foot in fashion while the other was still on the pitch, Mr. Lineker plotted his second career in broadcasting while still playing. Teammates nicknamed him Junior Des because of his fascination with Des Lynam, then the BBC's football anchorman. "I always knew what I wanted," he says now. Beneath the congeniality and corny puns, observes a former BBC insider, he has a nucleus of steel and ambition. "I'm never going to be able to crack this," he remembers thinking of his early, slightly wooden turns on the telly. He did. Along with other headline gigs, for 25 years he has presented Match of the Day, a football highlights show and BBC flagship. Its rousing theme tune is a kind of sporting national anthem. Two episodes in that long run stand out. In 2016, he vowed to appear in his underwear should Leicester City, his hometown club, win the Premier League. Leicester won. Urged on by the Prime Minister, Mr. Lineker stripped. On the other occasion, he didn't appear at all. Last year, he was taken off air amid accusations from ministers and others that he had violated the BBC's impartiality rules. Since he never got a yellow card for foul play on the field, this counted as his first professional caution. On the social media platform now called X, where he has 8.9 million followers, Mr. Lineker said the language of government asylum policy was not dissimilar to that used by Germany in the 30s. The spat proved how unwise it is for politicians to take on celebrities. Colleagues downed microphones in solidarity. Mr. Lineker was swiftly reinstated. It's the sort of opinion for which, among right-wingers, his name has become a byword for bien-pensant liberalism, not an obvious fate for a footballer. Mr. Lineker says the real cause of the furore was the yen of BBC haters to discredit the broadcaster. He still shares opinions on what he calls humanitarian rather than political issues. His lopsided views on Gaza have distressed many British Jews. Cherish or revile him, Mr. Lineker has scored an impressive hat-trick in the national sport, at the national broadcaster, and now in digital media. If the striker could have peered forward 30 years, he'd have been stunned. Conversely, if today's man were to meet his cold, driven, younger self, he doubts he would like him much. His life's connecting thread, he says, has been football, but other English preoccupations have fed into his success. One is even deeper than footy or the BBC, the eternal subject of class. Mr. Lineker had a working-class upbringing. His father ran a market stall on which he helped out. He attributes some of his slapdowns from bigwigs to snobbery. Yet these days, suave and cosmopolitan, he is hard to place class-wise. An asset in a country where people make snap judgments about other people's backgrounds and vowels. I can't place myself, he says, so I don't know what chance anyone else has got. The other national theme, or neuroses, which he embodies, is Englishness, an identity often thought to be jingoistic and exclusive. As Mr. Campbell sees it, there's something very positive English about Gary Lineker. Outspoken and occasionally wrong-headed he may be, but he is not boastful or insular. An avowed English patriot, he is a handy mascot for a maligned, leaderless tribe. Besides encouraging people to vote, he won't be opining on the election. But he will be the face of the summer's other main event, the European Football Championship in Germany, which he is fronting for the BBC. For once, he reckons, England have a really good chance. Football is only a game, but it's almost like a religion to a lot of people, Mr. Lineker notes. The good thing about football, he adds, with his talent for drollery and the odd provocation, is that it does actually exist.